God's people, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt. They were in bondage. And the Bible says they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry. And in verse 6, we read of Ezekiel's account of what he did. I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. I wish I could have seen the land of Canaan before the Israelites went into it. What a beautiful place it must have been. A place picked out by God for his people. A good land, a large land, a land that grew fruits and vegetables, a land that God watered with his rain, a land God chose for his people. And I want to direct your attention to verse 6, where the Bible says, into a land that I had espied for them. A land I had espied for them. That little word, espied, conveys a wonderful truth that I want to share with you tonight. Again, you can notice there in verse 6, a land I had espied for them. That word espied means to go before and search out. To go before and search out. God was saying to his people, I'm going to bring you out of the land of Egypt, and I'm going to bring you into a land that I have gone before you and searched it out for you. And so I know what you're going to need on the way because I've gone before. I know what you're going to need to get into it. I know what you're going to need when you're there. You don't have to worry about anything like that. And so tonight I want to speak on the subject, God the Espier. God the Espier. What he was saying to his people was, you're not taking a trip that I've not been on. I'm not sending you to a place that I know nothing about. I've made the trip. I've espied it for you. I've been there. I want you to trust me to get there. I want you to trust me when you get there. And by the way, I'll just tell you right now, it'll be worth the trip. It'll be worth the trip. He went before them. He went before them from the land of Egypt to the promised land. He goes before us. Same truth is in Psalm 59, verse 10. The God of mercy shall prevent, and that word prevent means go before me. The God of mercy shall go before me. In Psalm 79, verse 8, let thy tender mercy speedily prevent or go before us. When I worked for GM Parts, we sold parts to GM dealers. And we had goals for each of those parts managers as to how many parts we wanted them to buy from us every year. And so we set goals, and then we had incentives for them to reach those goals. The top incentive was a trip that they and their spouse could go on, and there were some really nice trips. I got to host a couple of those trips, and I got to go to Hawaii, I got to go to Sweden, I got to go to Australia, different places. But the best job in the division, I never had it, but the best job in the whole division was the guy that went and set up those trips. Because he would go, in setting up the trip, he would go every place the trip was going to go. And so, in effect, he would get on the same plane that the parts managers would ride on. He would stay in the same hotel that they would stay in if they got to go on this trip. He would eat at the same restaurants that they were going to eat at if they got to go on this trip. He would go and see the same sites that they would see if they got to go on the trip. And so he would go and check everything out. He would go and make sure that it was top-notch, first class, something that you'd want your customers to be exposed to. And then when the trip got ready to happen, he would always be there to guide the group of customers and those of us that got to go along to sort of host them. He would always be there to make sure that everything went according to his plan, that everything that he had set up was done exactly the way it was supposed to be done. Now, I use that as an example. That's exactly what God the Aspire did for his people. That's what he's telling them in this verse. I've gone on the trip. I've traveled from Egypt to Canaan. I know what you will experience along the way. I know what you will need along the way. I know what you will see when you get there, and I know that because I've made the trip myself. Again, I'm not sending you to a place that I've never been. I'm not going to ask you to travel a way that I haven't traveled. I'm not going to ask you to experience things that I've never experienced. I'm not going to ask you to face difficulties that I haven't faced. I've prepared for you. Because I've gone before you, I've prepared for you, and I will provide every step of the way. Now, for those of you that want points in my message, this is point one. Okay? God goes, he went before his people, and he prepared the way. And so he would say, I know you have a sea to cross. And so I prepared a great wind to split that sea and dry up the land so you can walk through that sea on dry ground. I know that you'll get hungry because I've made the trip. I know you're going to get hungry. And so I have in heaven a great store of manna that I will feed you every day, 6 days a week, and give you a double portion on Friday so you don't have to go on the Sabbath. I've got that prepared for you. I know because I've gone on this trip that you're going to get thirsty. And so I've got the rock of Horeb filled up with water. And I'll tell Moses to strike it, and I'll tell Moses to speak to it. And out of that rock, you'll get all the water that you need to quench your thirst. I know that you're going to get hot as you make this trip because I've made it. And so I prepared a great cloud. A cloud that will lead you by day and a cloud that will provide you shade in the heat of the day to keep you a little cooler. When the cloud moves, you move. When the cloud stops, you cloud. But I know that you'll need that. You'll need the shade from that cloud because it's going to get hot. I know because I've been there, and so I prepared this cloud for you. I know you might get cold at night because I've been there at night. I've gone before you. And so I've made a great pillar of fire. It'll lead you by night, but it'll also provide some warmth as you travel under that pillar of fire. I know as you make this journey, there'll come a time when you want some meat to eat. And I've got a whole covey of quails in store, ready to rain down on you when you want some meat to eat. I know you're going to want it because I've been there. I've gone before you. And so I've got it all ready for you. I know you're going to have to cross the Jordan River. And so I've prepared a way for you to get across that river. And then I know when you go into the land, you're going to have some battles to fight. And I've prepared everything that you need that in those battles, you will win the victory. Now, here's what he told his people. He said, I know it won't be an easy trip because I've gone on it. I'm your expire. I've gone on the trip. I know that there will be hardships. I know there will be difficulties. I know there will be hurts. I know that there will be tears. But I've gone before you, and I've prepared the way. I guarantee you, you will face no battle that you cannot win. I guarantee you, I will give you strength for every burden. I guarantee you, every tear that you shed, I will give you a way to dry it. I guarantee you, every struggle you encounter on this trip, I know the struggles you're going to encounter because I've made the trip. Every struggle you encounter, I will make a way to bear it. I guarantee you, every problem that you face on this journey from Egypt to the land of Canaan, every problem you face, I guarantee you, I will give you a way to solve it. I guarantee you that every mountain that gets in the way, I'll either give you a way to get over it, around it, or through it. I guarantee it. I guarantee that every river you have to cross, there'll be a way to cross it. Maybe it'll just be wading through the shallow water. Maybe it'll be fording through a little bit deeper water. Maybe I'll just split that river so you can walk across on dry ground. But I guarantee you there'll never be a river that will be impossible for you to cross. And I guarantee you that every enemy you face, every hostile people that don't want you to come into the land, every hostile people that don't want you to get there, I guarantee you I'll make a way to defeat it. Sometimes you'll have to fight. Sometimes you'll have to pick up the sword and the spear and go into battle yourself. Other times you'll just have to sit back and watch me work. I'll defeat that enemy in miraculous ways. And I guarantee you that once you get to this land that I prepared for you, you'll find it will be worth the journey that you made. God calls it the glory of all lands. No wonder they've been fighting over the nation of Israel. God says it's the glory of all lands. But God goes on, he says something else. He said this, I've gone before you. I've taken the trip. I know what you're going to face. And I know you can't see me. I'm invisible. You can't see me. So I'm going to get you a leader. And he goes back and gets Moses. And he has Moses spend 40 years in that wilderness. 40 years walking and tending sheep along that same path that the Israelites will take. And God says, I know you can't see me, so I'm going to get you a leader that has made that same journey, and you'll follow Moses as Moses follows me. We've made the trip. We've prepared. Again, it won't be easy, but we've prepared, and everything you face, I guarantee I'll give you a way to overcome it. Amen. You know the story. They followed Moses to Kadesh Barnea. They got up to the Jordan River. They were able to look across and they could see the promised land. Now, at this point, they'd already crossed the Red Sea. They were already been fed with manna. They already drank water from the rock. They already were led by day by the cloud, the pillar of cloud. They already were led by night by the pillar of fire. They had already seen the victory that God had won over Pharaoh's army as he drowned them, all of them, in the Red Sea as they tried to follow after the nation of Israel. And instead of going in and claiming the land that God had promised them, this land of glory, this land that he had led them to, instead of going ahead and following God and following Moses, they stopped. And they selected a committee. You know what a committee is? A group of the unqualified doing what's unnecessary. Somebody says a camel is a horse put together by a committee. They elected this committee. There was 12 of them. Two of them were good. 10 of them was bad, the little song goes, a little chorus. And they came back, and here's what they searched the land for 40 days. They went into the land of promise for 40 days. And they came back and says, God is so right. It is a land of glory. It's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place. All that God has said about it is true. But, there's giants that live there. And the cities are walled and they're strong. And compared to those giants, we look like a bunch of grasshoppers. And instead of following the one that had already made the trip, instead of listening to the one that espied out the land for them, they listened to the report of the 10 men and they turned back. Joshua and Caleb tried to tell him, look, we may look like grasshoppers, but with God, grasshoppers can defeat giants. Amen. We may not be much compared to them, but it doesn't depend on us. It depends on the one who has gone before us. It depends on our God. It may seem impossible. It may seem impossible from our standpoint, but Joshua and Caleb told them, we've got a God that does the impossible. He had made provision for every part of the journey. He made no provision for them stopping. He made no provision for them turning back. And isn't it foolish that the nation of Israel believed 10 men who had not made the journey, who had not spied out the land the way God had? Isn't it silly and isn't it a shame that they believed those 10 men instead of believing the one that went before them and got them up to that point and was ready to take them into the land? What a shame. So point number one, God went before him. Point number two, here's the application of that. God knows us. God loves us. And God has prepared a land for us. And the same description that God used for the land of Canaan when he called it a land, the glory of all lands, can be used to describe the land that God has prepared for us. We sing about that land. When we sing, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. God has a land picked out for us. We sing about it when we sing, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. God has prepared a land for us. We sing about it when we sing, oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. God has prepared a land for us. We sing about it when we sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. Amen. The same thing that God did for the Israelites in espying the land, in going before them, in preparing the way for them to get there, he does the same thing for us. He does the same thing for us. He's made the trip that he wants us to go on. He knows every difficulty we'll face along the way. He knows every problem we'll face along the way. And he says, hey, I've been there. Just come and follow me. He said, I know you'll need a way to pay for your sins. You won't get into that land with sins on your account because there's no sin in that land I've prepared. And so you're going to need a way to get your sins forgiven. You're going to need a way to get your sins taken care of. You don't need to worry about it because I've prepared a way for you to do that. The way that I'm going to do that is I'm going to send my son, and he's going to come and live among men. He's going to be the greatest revelation that I've given to mankind about myself. He's going to come and live among men for 33 some years. And he's going to face life that you face. He's going to face every temptation. He's going to face every burden. He's going to face every problem. He's going to face every difficulty. There's nothing in our life that we face that God, in the form of Jesus Christ, doesn't know about. He knows about everything that we face. And so he lived. He lived the life that we live. He lived in the world that we live. He faced the same things that we faced. And the Bible says he did that without sin. And so he was sinless when he came to earth. After living here for 33 years, he was still sinless. And God said, you're going to need a way to get your sins taken care of. You can't go to that land unless your sins are taken care of. I've made the way. I'm going to send my sinless son. He's going to live among you sinless. And I'm going to let you take him and nail him to a cross. And as he hangs on that cross, I'm going to take every one of your sins, every single one of them, not just part of them, not just most of them, but all of them, every sin, and I'm going to put them on my son. And when he dies on the cross, when he pays on that cross, he's going to pay the price that you and I owe. He's going to pay the price of our sin. And when he lifts his voice to heaven and says, it is finished, amen, what he was saying, the price has been paid. The price has been paid. A lot of people think that Jesus paid the price when he went into the tomb. I think he paid the price as he hung on the cross. I think when the sun hid its face and didn't shine, when the world was plunged into darkness, and Jesus looked to heaven and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's when he paid the price of our sin. The price of our sin is death, separation from God. And on the cross, when God put all the sins on his son, he turned his back on Jesus. First time in all eternity, the only time in all eternity, God the Father turned his back on his Son, separating himself. God the Father separating himself from God the Son. And he had to do that because he bore our sin. He bore our sin. And he paid the price. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from God. And when Jesus hung on that cross in those hours of darkness, he was paying the price for every one of my sins. He was paying the price for every one of your sins. And again, when he cried out, it is finished, what he was saying is, the price has been paid. Jesus said, I've taken this journey before you. I know you're going to need a way to pay for your sins. You can't go to that land that I prepared for you with your sins. There's no sin in that place. And so by my death and by my burial and by my resurrection, that's what Paul says the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the gospel, I've made a way for you to take care of your sins and get to that land that I prepared for you. But Jesus said, I know you're going to need instruction. You're going to need instruction how to make it in this world on this journey through the wilderness from the time that you're born until the time that I take you to that place that I prepared for you. And I've gone before you. I've gone before you. And again, with God, there's no time. There's no time. He says, I've gone before you. And because I've gone before you, I've put in this book all the instructions that you're going to need to make it through this world. Everything. From the first part of Genesis to the last part of Revelation. I know, here's what you say, preacher, wait just a second. A lot of the Bible was written before Jesus came and lived on the earth. A lot of the Bible was written before he took the form of a man and became a servant and was obedient unto death. A lot of the Bible was written before all of that happened. But there's no time with God. There's no time with God. Amen. And so before it happened, Jesus knew what was going to happen. And so he could tell the Holy Spirit, this is what you need to tell him to write in this book. This is what you need to tell him. I know because I've been there. Amen. I've gone through what they're going to go through. I've suffered what they're going to suffer. I've hurt the way that they're going to hurt. And so, Holy Spirit, this is what you need to put in their instruction manual. This is what you need to put in the book. I know they're going to need it. And so, and I've been there. I've gone before them. And so put this in the book. They're going to need guidance. They're going to need help interpreting what it says in their instruction manual. And so we've prepared for that too. we're going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to remind you of everything that Jesus said while he was here. He's going to remind you who Jesus is. He's the one that inspired this book. And when I mean inspired, he told the authors what to write, the very words and punctuations to write. And so who better to send than the one that wrote the book to help us interpret it, to help us apply it, to help us to know how to use it to get through this life. Jesus has gone before us. He's prepared a place for us, and he's made the journey. And so he knows, again, we're going to need a way to get our sins taken care of. He knows that we're going to need instruction. He knows that we're going to need guidance. He knows that we're going to need encouragement. And so he's put us in a church. He's put us in a body of believers, a called out assembly, so that we can encourage one another. So that we can stir up one another to love and good works. So that we can provoke one another to love and good works. That's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is. Especially as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching. And we need to be encouraged. Jesus knew. He said, hey, I've made the trip. I know there's going to be times that you need to be encouraged. I've taken care of that too. I put you in a church with other believers, so that they can encourage you on your journey. And God did more than that. He said the same thing, says the same thing to us that he said to his people, you can't see me. You need somebody you can see. You need somebody that can lead the way. And so he sent his son, Prince of Heaven, left heaven, again for 33 some years, came and lived among us. He said, you can see him. Just like you can't see me, I sent Moses. You can't see me, I sent Jesus. So that you could see him. He's made the journey. He's made the journey. He's made the journey from birth to heaven. Same journey we're on. From birth to heaven. Jesus has made the journey. And he knows. He knows. He said in John chapter 14, a familiar passage of Scripture, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so he says, hey, look, I know that there's times you're going to get discouraged. I did. So I'm going to make a way for you to get encouraged. I know there's going to be times that you'll feel pain. There were times that I felt pain in my human body. I'm going to make a way for you to get through that pain. I know you're going to get sick. I know you're going to feel sorrowful. I know you're going to feel lonely. I experienced those same emotions. But I've prepared for all that because I've gone before you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, for there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation always also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God can say that because Jesus experienced it. He experienced it. And so he says, I guarantee you, there'll be no problem that we can't solve. I guarantee you, there'll be no battle you can't win. I guarantee you, there'll be no burden you can't bear. I guarantee you, there'll be no mountain you can't climb. There'll be no river you can't cross. He's gone before us. He says, follow me. Follow me. And so again, point number three. I'm going to summarize. Point number three. He said to the Israelites, hey, you're slaves in Egypt. I want to take you to Canaan, a land of glory, a land that flows with milk and honey. Now, between Egypt and Canaan, there's a wilderness. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be pain, battles, and sorrow. But I've made the trip. God says, I've made the trip. I prepared for everything that you're going to face. Follow me. And when we get there, I guarantee you, it'll be worth it. Amen. It'll be worth it. He says to us today, those of us that live in this old, wicked world, I want to take you to heaven. A land of the unclouded day. A land that is fairer than day. Now, between your birth and heaven, you're going to have to live in the wilderness of this earth. And there's going to be troubles, and there's going to be hurts and pain, battles and sorrows. But I've made the trip. I've made the trip. I know what you're going to face. Just follow me. And I guarantee you that when we get there, it will be worth it.
Amen.
It will be worth it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One glimpse of His dear face, all trials will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amen.
You know what the sad part is? Just like it was sad for the Israelites, they stopped because they listened to a bunch of men who hadn't made the trip. And it's tragic today when we stop because we listen to some man that hasn't made the trip instead of following the one that has.
Amen.
Let's just follow him. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being the great Aspire, for going before your people and telling us about it, and for going before us and telling us about that too. And I pray tonight, if there's one person here that hasn't made peace with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, that still bears the guilt and penalty of their sin, that they would understand that you made a way, and that way is Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I pray, Holy Spirit, again, if there's just a single person here that's never received Jesus as their Savior, that tonight you've convicted them of their sin, and you've shown them the only hope that they have is to come to Christ, and tonight they would come to Him. I pray for the many Christians that are here. We live in a time of trouble, but we're not discouraged. We live in a time of darkness, but we still know the light of the world. And I pray that we've been reminded tonight that we have one who has made the trip that goes before us, and all we have to do is follow him. And so I pray that you would encourage the discouraged. You'd lift up those that perhaps have fallen. Father, that you do in each of our lives, but you know that we need tonight. And we'll be sure to give Jesus all the glory. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.